the professor of Puget Sound. I got to, I've been doing a little studying under this man lately. He joins us now from All Star Charters, Gary Krein. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning. Nice morning it is.
Too. So, yeah, it was. And it was a nice morning yesterday on Puget Sound. We kind of then, of course, went and found some sand dabs and went lingcod fishing. But we didn't really do a whole lot of catching until you showed up and showed me a couple different scrapes. Give us your nutshell philosophy about finding lingcod in the subtle structure that exists in some of these Puget Sound flats.
Well, lingcod live in houses on the area that I call it lingcod houses, and some of them even live in dormitories, just like when you were in college, okay? And sometimes you got to teach the kids that are the students in college. Sometimes you got to teach them, you know, go to the house and stay there for a little while.
Gotcha.
So that's the key. Find them houses and concentrate on them. Most of the spots where we fish out there, those lingcod houses hold, you know, 4, 5, 6 lingcod or whatever it is.
So they're a dormitory. Yeah.
Or a dormitory that holds several. Yeah. And sometimes they bite real well when the tide's moving right, and sometimes they don't bite very well. But, you know, with years of practice, of course, you're going to learn those houses and dormitories, and it's really critical, as you spoke earlier about electronics, to pinpoint those spots and be able to repeat and go back, you know, again and check them out and see if anybody's half the house biting. And my approach, of course, is whenever I am out there traveling across, is to study my electronics and look for new structures, new houses, and then go back and experiment on those.
So you're talking about these houses and dormitory. I mean, Nellie and I spent most of our time in the cafeteria in college, of course, but that should be no surprise.
Well,
so what do these places look like then? You're studying your electronics when you're running, and I'm a big fan of this too. I always have all my stuff on, my sonar on when I'm running, so I can pick up all those off the beaten path little pinnacles. What are you looking for, man? Are these areas of high relief? Are they rock piles? What exactly are you looking for?
In this area, most of it is just little indentations from, you know, a lingcod really only needs about 1 or 2 feet of bottom change to hide behind and stay out of it. I mean, he wants to stay out of the current when the current is running and ambush any bait that comes along, you know, eat it, and then take it back to his house. And so what I look for, I like the ones that are about 10 feet. I look for structure change that drops into a hole, and most of these are holes out there. They're not rocks sticking up. They're holes going down, okay? And some of them have a little bit of rock in it, but a lot of them don't even have rock in them. They're just holes in the bottom that are, you know, maybe, and the reason I call them houses, some of them are no bigger than a house. I mean, some of them are no bigger around than an actual house, you know? But yet, you know, you think about a house, well, 10 feet deep, how many lingcod could hide in there? Well, certainly 10, 15, 20 could, and live there very fine with the bait coming across and eating it. And then sometimes they'll go out onto the flats and feed, looking for their own sand dabs or their own food. And so once in a while, you'll catch them out on the flats when they're cruising around. And, of course, they're moving into the shallows to spawn and then moving back out, living in these houses, as I call them, for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. And this month, of course, is the prime month for them moving off the spawning beds and heading back to deeper water. So they're moving from house to house sometimes.
We're talking with Gary Krein, the professor of Puget Sound, All-Star Charters, of course. And Gary, let's talk a little bit about your actual techniques. You told us a little bit of the where to. We need to dig into the how to. And so you're kind of making drifts with your gear and keeping it a little bit above the bottom. And I was interested to note that you even have a rod in a rod holder or two. Tell us a little bit about where you want to place your gear and what you're using and how you approach the bite of a lingcod.
Okay, well, we use primarily sand dabs for bait.
Which are the small flounder that are just ubiquitous. Right. So they're everywhere in Puget Sound.
Yeah, and the smaller they are almost, the better bait they are. I like ones that are no bigger than the palm of your hand. If they're bigger than that, they're almost too big for these guys to swallow fast and effectively. It doesn't mean they won't eat them. It's just that they take... What a lingcod does with anything that it eats, it comes up, grabs it from the tail, and then tries to crunch it to death, and then it has to spin it around and swallow it head first. They live on rockfish. They live on things with spines. Spines will not go down their throat backwards. So they crunch it for a second, then spin it in their mouth and swallow it head first. You have to give them time to do that if you expect to get a hook in them. I see way too many people set the hook on the first bite. The reason I like to put the poles in the pole holder is because it's very hard to train inexperienced fishermen to not set the hook when that fish is jerking back on him. I wait until that pole is completely doubled over and they are pulling off line. Going back to their house.
You're pretty much born with that instinctive hook-setting response. Rod goes down, you got to jerk on it. What about jigging? Do you see guys using pipe jigs or artificials or swim baits or any of that kind of stuff out there, Gary?
I do see some, and certainly when there is a good bite going on and in the first part of this season, those will catch lingcod. We use darts, Wilson darts, quite often. And with that, it's different. You do set the hook the minute you feel a bite. I mean, you know, because they are not going to swallow that artificial bait, whereas with these live baits, they want to swallow it into their stomach, and you want to give them. I use two 5-aught circle hooks for my lingcod. I use almost all that circle hooks anymore, and I wait until they have had a chance to try to swallow it, and you know, we have even with that, we have probably about a 70% success ratio at getting them to get a hook in them. And once you've got a circle hook in them, you have to pinch your barbs, obviously, but once you have a circle hook in them, it's not coming out.
That's, and I agree. But, you know, you look at the experience that we have, or at least personally that I have, in the west coast of Vancouver Island and on the coast, and you, Robbo, we're looking for pinnacles on the coast and in southeast Alaska, particularly where those pipe jigs, you know, in deeper water.
Yeah.
This is almost opposite. Instead of looking for lings on the penthouse in Puget Sound and the technique Gary's describing, you're almost looking for lings in the basement. Right? I mean, he's looking for indentations.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so that's you know, a challenge for coastal guys that want to be successful in Puget Sound. You know, let's look for these indentations rather than the pinnacles.
Oh, I'm just thinking you could strategically hit some of these pockets in the bottom with jigs. Instead of having to kind of line up your drift, just to make sure you get down, going right across this pocket, man, I think you could just bomb some jigs down there. But, of course, you know, there's huge tides that roll across possession
bar. That's right.
And you never know how that's going to work out. I mean, when you got some of these exchanges are 13, 14 feet, that can be tough, regardless of what you're doing. So if you got a live sand dab, of course, that's going to be the bait of choice more often than not. So,
well, my theory or my best advice is if you're traveling across the bottom with your GPS at 0.5 miles per hour or faster, you should be using bait. If you're going slower than that, then you can use jigs and do just as well, or maybe even better, especially if you're not covering ground very fast. Because like you say, then you're staying in the, you know, once you're in that strike zone where they're living, then you stay there long enough to get that jig to really work. So on slacker tides, I will have more success with jigs than I will on stronger tides.
He's Gary Crine, All-Star Charters. If you want your own trip with the Professor Puget Sound, log on to allstarfishing.com or give him a call at 425-422-4800. And, of course, if Gary can't take you, his partner in crime, Nikki Kester, probably can.
Oh, so, yes, he will.
So, Gary, thank you a whole bunch, and we appreciate the information, and we'll see you out on the water, brother.
Good student there, you are.
You got to throw the bumpers out when he pulls up alongside.
There was a fender drill yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I was close to him.
I tried to teach him that if you're going to get close, you got to get real close.
Well, yeah. Well, didn't you notice when I started using your rod holders and on your boat from my boat, that was
exactly
close enough.
Yeah. I thought I was going to have to net that first fish for you.
He likes to sidle on up.
Sidler.
All right, buddy.
All right, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks again, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Great guy.
Nelly
the
Sidler.
I tell you what, he's got that drill nailed. He's been doing it for a long time. But again, in our experience, looking for pinnacles, right? You know, I mean, we're looking for them up high. Mm-hmm. He's finding them down low. But I will say one thing before we bail out of this segment. I know we're late for a break. Yesterday was really when Structure Map, the light bulb went on yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Structure Map is a Lowrance product where you can actually put your side scan image right on your chart plotter, and we're making these drifts. And then I started seeing these ditches, and I started seeing streaks in the ditches, and that's
You can see your contour lines on your chart plotter, and then you back it up with the structure scan image,
which is
live echoes.
It's live, your live echoes
on top.
And
you can see those crevices and those cracks and those piles of rocks and all that stuff down there. And I tell you what, it's lethal for bottom fish.
So then you roll your cursor over to that right on your plotter, and you hit bing. Then you make your next drift over the Lingcod.
And the next drift is hammer time.
The Lingcod condominium. Yeah, that was, and that was a deal for us.